Hello, this is Rabbi Rob Dobberson, and welcome to this edition of Wrestling and Dreaming. And this is the second part of a three-part edition of the podcast addressing the issue of Birkot Nehenin. Birkot Nehenin are the blessings that we say upon experiencing something in the world. It could be something every day, the eating of a piece of bread and preceding it by saying, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz, who brings forth bread from the earth." Or it could be some extraordinary event which we seek to understand as part of the glory of the creation of the universe. Whichever it is, the purpose of these blessings is to remind ourselves of God as creator. And understanding that even though clearly there are scientific explanations to everything we're experiencing, and clearly there's human effort involved in so much of what we do, none of this is to deny either of those, but that we trace it back to the idea of God as creator of the universe, who provided for us through that creation these experiences that we find either every day and might take for granted, or find so remarkable. If you're looking for an entire list of the Birkot Nehenin, you can find them online, or you can find them in a complete daily Siddur. And you can understand that there are many more than the ones that I'm going to mention today. I've just picked a few that are, I think, representative of the entire tradition and that interest me for one reason or another. I also want you to know that there is in Jewish tradition and the legal tradition, there's an emphasis on saying the blessing in the proper way, saying it at the proper time, not saying it at the improper time, etc. I'm not as concerned about that right now. I want you to think of these blessings as opportunities to bring meaning to everyday life and to the extraordinary events or experiences that we might have. So let me begin with my three of my favorite Birkot Nehenin, and they're favorites of mine for a particular reason. When I was working as a Rosh Eda, as a division head at Camp Ramah, New England, which I did for several summers, I would always give to my counselors at the beginning of the summer an index card with three blessings on it. And I said, I want you to have these with you at all times, or at least have memorized them, because they have to do with events that you might experience with your campers. And it's so impressive to be able to say to kids, what we're experiencing is part of this glory of God's creation. And those three were the blessings for thunder, lightning, and a rainbow. For thunder, the blessing is Shekocho Gvuroto Male Olam. And as I go through these, I'm leaving out the introduction, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Just going to use the key words at the end. Shekocho Gvuroto Male Olam. When one hears thunder, one says that God's strength and glory fill the world. So we hear in this thunder, which of course has a scientific explanation, a representation of God's power in the world. And with lightning, it's Osem Ma'aseh Bereishit, that God works the act of creation. The light in lightning reflecting us back to the story of creation in the book of Genesis. But the idea of this is a way of saying that God recreates the world at all times. And the light in lightning would in fact remind us of the creation story. And the blessing for a rainbow is a little bit longer, so I won't go through the whole thing, but it speaks about God remembering the covenant, being loyal to the covenant, and that's a connection to the story of the rainbow in the story of Noah, where the rainbow appears and God says, this is my symbol that I will not once again destroy the world, that the storm is over, that the flood is over. And especially if the rainbow comes after a bad storm, it brings a sense of peace and a sense of connection with the confidence in the stability of the world. So those are three blessings that I particularly like. And again, what's really important about these blessings and all of them is that they urge us to think about God as creator. One of the most common blessings is the blessing for eating bread, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and the blessing for eating fruit that comes from a tree, Borei Pri Haetz. God creates the fruit of the tree. But there's also a blessing for things that smell good. Even before tasting a fruit, one would say, Hanotein Reach Tov Baperot, who gives a sweet smell to fruit. Think about it. Often before we eat a piece of fruit, we take that, we inhale and have that wonderful aroma, perhaps of a pear or an apple or whatever it might be. And the tradition actually says there's a blessing to be said before you eat it, recognizing the joy and the pleasure of the beautiful smell. Again, that's part of the world. There are other of the Birkot Nehneim that speak of a different kind of benefit. There's a blessing for seeing unique beauty in the world. If we see a beautiful animal or beautiful landscape, and by the way, I say this often to myself in the work that I do as a volunteer at the zoo, and I've spoken about that in previous episodes of the podcast. If you see this animal that's extraordinary, one could say, Shekacha lo be'olamo, that it is such in God's world, that God's world contains things such as these, animals such as these. This idea of saying, I'm not just looking at an animal, I'm noticing something unique, something special, something that just elevates me in some way because of its beauty or because of its strength, whatever it might be. And certainly, when one stands on a mountaintop and looks over a landscape, to say, Shekacha lo be'olamo, that this is the world that God has created for us. Let me share with you two other brachot that I find particularly interesting because it reminds us, these two, they both remind us that as much as we celebrate God as creator, it's human beings who have control over this world right now on a daily basis. Maybe not of the sunrises and sunset, of course, but of things that happen here on earth. So there's a blessing that one says when one sees a person of great wisdom. Shenatan mechachmato livnei adam. Blessed be God who gives of God's wisdom to human beings. I love that blessing. The idea that we say that God is the epitome of wisdom to have created the world of this kind, but has not kept all the wisdom to God's self, but imparted with us the ability to learn and to understand the creation. And this is a great interest to me, especially since I've been doing a lot of reading lately. You'll hear a little bit more about that next week, perhaps, on the whole issue of the creation of the world, of the Big Bang, and of how we understand how the universe is expanding and continues, in essence, to be created. So we say, Shenatan mechachmato livnei adam, that has given people wisdom to teach others like myself about the importance of the events which take place in the natural world. But it doesn't have to just be said about scientists. It could be said about anybody that is really bringing wisdom to the world. Then there's a blessing that to be said for a head of state, Shenatan mikvodo lebasar v'dam, that God has given some of God's glory to flesh and blood. In other words, that it's all right in our tradition to pay tribute to a person who has taken on the responsibility of leading a nation or being part of the political process in the world. Hopefully we're careful about for whom we say that blessing, but that's obviously a very subjective aspect of it. But the fact is that we recognize that God's control over the natural world leaves room for people to run the day-to-day events of the world and hopefully lead us in the proper direction as a nation or within the world at large. There's a blessing that one says upon hearing good news. Hatov v'hametiv, blessed be God who is good and does good. But conversely, and this is why it's very unusual and perhaps inaccurate to call these blessings blessings of gratitude, because there's also a blessing to be said when one hears bad news. Dayan Ha'emet. Now that blessing might be familiar to some of you from a funeral service when one says the kriya, when one does the kriya, tearing the garments. This is the blessing that's said before one does that. It's also a blessing one says when one hears bad news of any kind, but obviously significant bad news. Blessed be God, the true judge. It's a way of reminding us that our lives are not always good, that things do happen in this world which are negative, but that's part of the way that our world has been created. And it encourages us to find meaning in that event and hopefully to understand God's presence even at times of sadness. And finally, let me share with you one blessing, which it sounds like it's tongue-in-cheek, and perhaps it is, and for that reason, even though I particularly like this blessing, I usually don't say it out loud. If I have the opportunity to say it, I say it to myself, because as you'll hear, one might be, in fact, offended to hear it. But here's the blessing, and I mention it in conclusion because I just think it's in a way, it's a lot of fun, but we'll take it seriously for a moment. The blessing that is said if one has not seen somebody one is close to for a year and then sees them. So you see somebody that you're close to for the first time in more than a year. The blessing is Michaye HaMetim, blessed be God who resurrects the dead. Now, let's just say that that blessing is part of the Amidah, the silent prayer, and it refers to, in fact, the idea that at the time of the Messiah, many of the rabbis believed, and many still believe, the idea of bodily resurrection. I don't look at the blessing that way because I don't believe in that bodily resurrection, but I do see it as a way of saying that those who have died are still kept alive by us in some way, through our God-given gifts of memory. But in this particular case, it's something different. And you have to go back to the Talmud, where this and all of these blessings, in fact, come from, and you realize that if somebody hadn't seen somebody for more than a year, they probably didn't know whether that person was alive, because there was no other way to contact people. So it was very literal back then. Now I think it might be said with a little bit of a smile on one's face. But it's still a way of saying, I want this relationship to continue, even though it's been you've been absent in my life for a while. And in that sense, it's a very meaningful blessing. I do bring it up because I think that it is, in a way, odd to say, blessed be God who resurrects the dead, about somebody that's still alive. But you understand that there's a context to this. So those are the blessings I wanted to share, and there are many more, but I'll leave it at these. But I want to tell you about next week's podcast, because I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you. One of the Birkot Nehanin, in fact, one of the ones that I mentioned here, is obviously a great, it seems perfect for a particular event. But our rabbi said, no, you can't say that blessing, you can't say any blessing about that particular event. And I'm going to argue vehemently that we have to say a blessing for it. And it's going to become very important, because it's an event which, God willing, many of us are going to be able to experience sometime in the not so distant future. In fact, just about a month from now. I'm going to leave it at that and have you think about it and think about what event I might be referring to, what blessing might go with that event, and you'll hear me make a very strong case, I hope, for why we should ignore the rabbi's warning not to say a blessing over this event. Think about it, and we'll talk about it next time. And until next time, thank you.